Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining Dubs Talk presented by Wendy's. Any time of day is Baconator time. Baconate in the AM with Wendy's Breakfast Baconator. Yup, all that bacon now for breakfast. Try this one AM free with any in-app purchase. Always be baconating at participating U.S. Wendy's. I that's a new read, Monty, and I'm going to be honest. I would like to baconate right now.
Yeah. All right, that sounds pretty good, actually, having that breakfast. So, but hey, you know what? I can always go for lunch. So
yes, there you go. There you go.
That's right. Those chicken sandwiches are pretty good.
That voice or face you're seeing or hearing, that is of Warriors insider Monty Poole. And Monty, thank you so much for joining us as always. And obviously, we need to talk about the preseason game, dive into that, who impressed us, what are our overall impressions in general. But one thing that we have to probably start with is it's just so great seeing Kevin Durant back. That was, I don't know if you got to see the highlights, but man, he looked good.
Yeah, I watched part of the game and he did look good. I expected him to, man. This dude is so talented. You know, I remember when the Warriors got him, you know, 4 years ago now, and another assistant coach reached out and said, "You guys just got the best player in the NBA." I said, "Well, what about LeBron?" And he said, "You guys just got the best player in the NBA." I said, "Well, I didn't really get him. The Warriors got him, but I get your drift, you know, because his skill set is so varied. People forget that he can handle like a guard.
Yeah.
I mean, he can cross you over in a heartbeat. And so watching him do his thing out there for the first time in, you know, a year and a half or whatever it's been, I was happy for him. I was happy for him.
And it's encouraging for Klay Thompson to see somebody recover from an Achilles injury like that as well. You know, I'm sure Klay is paying attention. He's always paying attention to the sports world. So that is just – it's fantastic to see. And, you know, not that you forget how good somebody is, but sometimes you need a little reminder. And I think the whole nation needs that about Steph Curry right now. But for
– I think it's coming.
Yeah, exactly. For Kevin Durant, there was a couple plays in there that – man, there was one play in particular that one guy was playing perfect defense on him. And he was trying to get around him. KD couldn't get around him. He was just really playing physical. And then KD goes, "Fine, I'll just shoot it." And just rises over him and shoots it and makes his bucket. And it's that easy for Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? It's like, sure, yeah, he can go around you. He can just shoot. Or he can try to go around you and then be like, "Fine, I'll just shoot."
That's why he is the hardest matchup in the league.
Yep.
I mean, even LeBron has his strength. You know what he's going to do. If all else fails, he's going to get strong on you. But Kevin doesn't really have that strength, but he doesn't need it. Because when he rises up from 20 feet, you figure, "Oh, here we go, I'm done."
Yeah.
When LeBron rises up from 20 feet, you're thinking, "Yeah, maybe it'll go in, maybe it won't." You know, so it's a different deal, man. And so, yeah, if you're an NBA defensive coordinator coach, and you're going against Kevin Durant, you're looking at your roster and going, "Where do I start?" You know, so it is special to watch, though. It really is.
And one reason, obviously, we want to talk about this as well, because that is the first opponent for the Warriors. And we'll get a chance to talk about that more in the future. There's a good chance, too. I was just tweeting this out. There's a good chance that based on the lineup that Steve Nash put out there for the Nets, if Draymond Green is back and healthy, there's a good chance Durant and Draymond are matched up against each other just because the positional fit, it might be where they're at, which is just an interesting thing because usually Draymond doesn't have to, you know, play against the premier scorer.
Right. You know, KD played the four, yep, which, you know, typically he plays the three, but that lineup, they played the four. And he's even said he's going to play some five. It's just some stretch five. So that'll be interesting. But, yeah, Draymond on Kevin would be interesting because you would think that, you know, Draymond would guard somebody else. But in this instance, are you going to have him running around with Joe Harris?
Right. No, they're all small and they're,
yeah, Yeah. Yeah. So I suspect that, yeah, you're going to see a lot of Draymond trying to guard KD, which will be fun to watch.
That will be. But, okay, so let's go over to the overall feeling of this first preseason game. So, obviously, the Warriors won the game, which ended up being a fun game in the very end. Monty, you were at the arena. So before we even begin with the overall feel of just watching the team play, what was the feel of the actual atmosphere there? Because – you know, I've been to some 49ers games this year, and it's like watching a glorified scrimmage, right? Because it's just silent. There's no one in the stands, and they're just two teams randomly playing in this gigantic stadium. I have a feeling it was better than that because the noise can be controlled a little better, et cetera. But what was the feeling like in the arena?
Well, the PA announcer was very excited, you know, and so you got a lot of that, you know, a lot of flavor with what he was saying. And you're right. It was empty, but it wasn't silent because they had some piped in noise, and you know, you get that manufactured sound, and that kind of I'm okay with that. There were probably about I don't know, maybe 35-40 people, something like that, scattered around the arena. I'm guessing they were family and staff members or whatever, just kind of hanging out. But it was interesting because, you know, we had to go through the COVID protocol, and which meant checking in with one person and then checking in with a second person, and then being ushered to where you take your test, and then being told, okay, you now have to go upstairs and wait for your results, which about 40 minutes, I think it was. And then you go downstairs, and you give them your name, and someone takes you into a little curtained off area and tells you you tested positive or negative. To my knowledge, nobody tested positive, but of course, we wouldn't know. All I know is that I was negative. Right. And that means, okay, now you can go into the arena, but you must have your card to get into the arena. You can't get in without it. So the game itself, you're right. You know, the glorified scrimmage, I think for the Nuggets, it largely was. They really didn't seem to be ready to play very much. You know, they were just kind of hanging out. Jokic was good, you know, but the rest of the guys were just kind of going through the motions, it looked like. I think the Warriors had something to do with that because they played inspired defense. Which is something they're going to have to do to compete. So the overall takeaway to me is that, yeah, the way that they played defense, a lot of times you hear crowds chanting defense, defense. They seem to have that in their heads, defense, defense. And if you do that this year, you're going to, that's a good thing because at least to start the season, that's what you're going to have.
Yeah, and you can't obviously take too many overreactions to a preseason game, right? Not only was it preseason, it's the first preseason game, so there's only so much you can take away, except for you can look for encouraging signs, right? Or you can look for discouraging signs as well. Luckily for the Warriors, there weren't too many discouraging signs in this game. I think most of it was encouraging, but again, there's gonna be overreactions, Monty, for the first 3 weeks of the season, the actual regular season. It's going to be like, if the Warriors win the first two games, they're going to win the title. If they lose the first two games, enjoy the number two pick again. You know what I mean? It's going to be a toss-up in that way. But you're right. And I think the biggest takeaway was you could see in their heads the commitment to defense. And the Warriors were without potentially two of their best defenders in Draymond and James Wiseman. And you mentioned Jokic playing really well. In 23 minutes, he had 26 points. I have it written here. 26 points, 10 rebounds, five assists. And he was matched up against Kevon Looney mostly. Looney's not the best matchup for Jokic. And technically, this is why they drafted James Wiseman, is to play these big men. So I'm not saying you can expect too much out of Wiseman to defend potentially one an MVP candidate this season. Yeah. But in terms of just being a presence in front of him, 7'1" James Wiseman would make things a little different for Jokic potentially.
No, I actually agree with that because Wiseman's so long. I mean, Looney's long, but he's also 6'9".
Right.
And so with a guy like Jokic, he plays inside and outside. You know, he often goes to the three-point line and shoots. So I think for Looney, he'd rather have a guy who's going to be in one place, you know. Wiseman is just so rangy. He's going to give them just, I guess you can say the mass, the circumference that can help guard a guy like Jokic. And, you know, there are a lot of big guys in the West. You know, you talk about Gobert and Ayton, and, you know, you go down the list, you can count KP in there somewhere, Porzingis. So you're going to need that height. And I think that's why I think that the Wiseman pick was a good pick, because in the West, you got some monsters out there. And I love Looney. I love what he's able to do. But he's going to be outgunned against a lot of these big guys.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So first of all, just Kevon Looney playing, I think we should just mention him first. I wanted to start with people that impressed, but for me, it's not as much about being impressed by Looney's game out there. It was just being impressed by the way he looked physically. He looked healthy. He was moving well. He did finish with 8 points and 6 rebounds and 3 assists. Like, he had a good game.
Yeah.
But it was just, what I was most impressed by was just seeing what it looked like. Again, I don't want to exaggerate things too much. It looked like what Looney looked like when he was in his prime, healthy.
Yeah. I think with Kevon, you just want to see him on the floor and stay healthy. There's always the caveat, you know, if he's healthy, he'll be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
If he's healthy, and I think the Warriors are still kind of, you know, keeping their fingers crossed and hoping, because his history just tells you, you got to be careful here. You got to keep an eye on it, and you got to be concerned about it. You have to have a backup plan, you know, because he just had so many injuries and so many times when he just couldn't play. So he says he feels great. He got hit a couple times and said he's fine. So I think anytime you see Looney on the court and playing 15, 18 minutes and with no ill effects, it's a positive.
Yeah. And but going back to your speaking of defense and just the encouraging signs of the defense, I think it all starts with Kelly Oubre in this game. And I think a lot of the energy we saw for that defense started with Oubre, because he was on Jamal Murray for a lot of it. And he was hounding him like almost full court press, picking him up, especially after half court. Hounding him, trying to get him, you know, get the ball out of his hands. And I think about that because first game, you'd have to assume maybe Oubre might be on Kyrie Irving the first game of the season, potentially, where he's just the long rangey, maybe try to get Kyrie to pass it away. Sure, Oubre did miss, you know, he was 1 of 6 from three, you know, showed some rust. But I think my biggest takeaways for him was first, just the hounding defense and him just locked in mm-hmm. that side of the court. But also there was one play where he got beat backdoor. He got lost for a second. Just for a second. And he recovered in time and followed with a chase down block from behind. And the Warriors didn't have that last year.
Yeah.
They didn't have the ability to do that last year. And if you
that was impressive, man. I remember the play, and you know, you're right about Oubre being sort of, as they call it, the tip of the spear, what you want to call it. But you know, he did say after the game that he would love to, you know, be first team all defense. And I think he has that potential,
mm-hmm.
You know, based on what he did last year in Phoenix. And they often put him on the opposing point guard, and he did just that. But let's not sleep on the other guy that also had a Jamal Murray. Stephen Curry did a pretty good job playing defense, you know, and, you know, he seems to be this year saying, okay, you guys don't think I can play defense, fine. Okay, let me straighten my tie and get my jacket just right on and show you guys a little something. And so I thought, you know, and when you're a guy like Steph, you know Jamal Murray is an emerging star, you know, and he's coming into your building. You're not going to let him come in there and have his way. And you saw Steph's pride, I thought. Even in a preseason game, saying, you know what, we want to play defense this year. Steve Kerr is emphasizing defense this year. I got to be a part of that, and I can be a part of it. So when you look at what Oubre did and what Steph did, I think those two guys really put their focus on defense, and it made a difference for the entire team, I thought.
Absolutely. No, I think Steph does deserve some credit for just the effort that he's putting defensively. And he said he's added some strength. He looks like he's stronger, and you can see he cares. And he's always cared about defense. And that's, there's just been, I don't really understand this slight that Steph Curry has gotten, as if he's a bad defender. He has reaching problems. He has problems fouling, but man, at the very least, Steph Curry should be considered an average NBA defender to above average. He's had seasons where he's been actually analytically towards the top defensive. Yeah. And that's where I just don't understand this bad defender label that he's gotten.
Well, you got to also look at the way people look at basketball, at least generally speaking. When a guy is a great offensive player, it's rare that he gets credit for his defense unless he is a superb defender. Right. You know, I mean, Michael Jordan was obviously a superb defender. So, oh, wow, Michael. And, you know, you got that. But when, in Steph's case, people look at him and say, man, he can really shoot it. Defensively, you know, remember Russell Westbrook's the look on his face when asked about Steph's defense, you know. But, yeah, I mean, he can defend, and he is stronger. And I think some of the shade comes from also from matchups where the Warriors, no matter whether it was Mark Jackson or Steve Kerr, will often put Clay on the opposing trouble guy, you know. And Clay's length makes a difference, you know. Right. Clay's bigger, and he can still keep up with guys. So with Steph, you don't want to burn him out on that end of the court. You know, you want him for your offense, so you want to save him as much as possible that you can on defense, and that way you get, you know, 30-point nights. And so I just think that, yeah, a lot of the shade that comes his way is because of those little factors. But Steph generally can hold his own.
Yeah.
And I think he did Monday night, and he seems to be committed to doing it again this year.
Yeah. No, the whole team, they seem to be committed on the defensive end. But, you know, offensively, Steph had some rust.
And you don't worry about him, though.
Yeah, that's the last person I'm worried about.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he didn't shoot that well. It's Steph. Don't worry about it.
And, you know, the funny thing with Steph is that, you know, he did go 3 of 10 in the game, and you definitely miss some open shots. But I think about the Warriors, and again, it's a preseason game. Everyone, let's not get ahead of ourselves. The Nuggets weren't exactly fully focused, you could tell,
in
the game. But there were moments where the Warriors could have broken the thing. Like if Steph just shot his normal Steph self, you know, not like when he went, it goes in flames, but just he shot his normal self, they would have pulled away very early in that game. And it just shows how much Steph can dictate this game as long as they're playing defense at a high level. And I think that's where it goes hand in hand. You can't just rely on Steph if you're going to be a mediocre to bad defensive team. But if you're a good defensive team, you can start relying on Steph some more. And so I think that's the encouraging signs. You can start seeing that develop.
Yeah, you saw them build double-digit leads in the first half, mostly with defense and getting in transition a little bit. So as the game went on, I thought second half is when, you know, the Warriors kind of lost a little bit of focus and the Nuggets started playing their sub guys, and their sub guys were playing hard. You know, those guys were playing hard, and you saw that the lead kind of shrink over time. And eventually it got to be a really tight game toward the end there. But I thought the Warriors regulars, at least the starters, and, you know, Bazemore, Wanamaker, the guys who you know are going to be in the rotation, I thought those guys played pretty well defensively for most of the game. And then at the end, I just think at the end, Denver's guys matched their intensity, which in a preseason game, you don't worry about that too much. You want to – if you're a coach – if you're Steve, a member of his staff, you want to look for certain things that players are doing and not doing so you can get back to those guys and talk about those things.
Yeah.
And I think in this game, you had to love the overall defensive intensity, even though, as the game went on, it kind of slacked off a little bit and it made it a tight game. But you're not looking for wins in the preseason. You're looking for specific factors and characteristics and mindset and mentality. And the defensive mentality they showed in that game, I thought was, again, it's what they have to have to compete in the West. If they don't play great defense, and I mean, you know, top 10 level defense, they're going to struggle getting into that 35 win category, you know, or getting beyond that category. So I think they will. And to see them play as they did and put forth the effort that they did on defense, without Draymond Green, without James Wiseman, I thought it was the best single sign of the night.
Absolutely. I think in terms of discouraging, the amount of threes they took, and I know it is a preseason game, and that's what people are getting their games in rhythm, whatever. It wasn't, maybe it's not the amount, it's some of the shot selections, I think, were a little discouraging. And particularly, I'm actually talking about Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins is going to be at his best when he's playing within the flow of the offense. And there is, sure, he made this great step back three early in the game, mm-hmm. but it was in isolation. And mm-hmm. he dribbled a little bit and then took a step back three. That's not where you're going to want to live. That's not a high efficiency shot. And that's something, and actually one of probably Wiggins' best shot of the game was a missed corner three, I think it was, which the ball was swinging around and it got a catch and shoot situation. And that's where you have to start remembering. And Oubre, to his credit, most of them were catch and shoot, I think corner and everything. But that's the stuff you need to be careful of. And Wiggins also made a bucket where it was like, he pulled up from 20 feet just inside the three-point line at the top of the key. And that's where the efficiency question marks have happened for him before. So, again, preseason game, who cares? But that's just the stuff to keep an eye on for someone like him. He has to play within the flow of the offense rather than just trying to create on his own.
Yeah, I think for me, you're right. The step back three was nice. You know, and anytime a three goes in, it's always nice. But also, you saw him commit three fouls in like 5 minutes.
Right.
And that's what you don't want to see, because you have this vision of Wiggins and Oubre on the wings being able to really guard people and kind of secure that the perimeter there. But he can't do it if he's off the floor. If he's on the bench, he can't do it. Sure. Now, granted, you can bring Bazemore in, but Bazemore's not going to give you the offense that Wiggins does. Bazemore's good in transition. But in a half-court offense, he can get lost. So I think, you're a little – you want to go – I'm going to guess that today, right about, now maybe, somebody is talking to Andrew about those fouls and just saying, okay, here's what we don't need to see. Here's what we want to see. Because certain fouls by certain guys drive certain coaches crazy. And, you know, I mean, Steph's reaching is one of those things that used to drive Steve crazy. Just don't reach. And I think Steph's gotten much better at that. But I think when you look at Wiggins, what he did offensively was a little, I don't want to say discouraging, but I think it was less than sharp. You know, it's not ideally what you want. And I think that'll be addressed. He is highly coachable. They're all saying that. So I think he'll understand that. But I just think overall, the three fouls were the thing that stuck out in my mind going, that's not what you want from your guy in the first 5 minutes of a game and have to put him on the bench with three fouls.
Right. And again, as you said, coachable, and he's somebody who wants to be better. And so I don't think no one's worried about it because of the game. It's just, if we're looking for trends and whatever, that's something we look for.
Are you faithful to the Bay? 49ers 2021 season tickets are available now and locations are filling up quickly. Lock in your seats today to secure your spot for next season. For more information, visit 49ers.com/season tickets.
You mentioned Bazemore. He played great in his minutes. He came in, gave so much energy. And I think, Wanamaker as well, you mentioned him. The guy is going to bring back the Iguodala strip down steal / block. It's weird when the scorer decides whether it's a steal or a block. I don't know how they make that decision, but Wanamaker and Bazemore, to me, I mean, you're talking about Wanamaker was pretty close to a minimum contract. Bazemore was a minimum contract. Those two together might be two of the crucial pieces on this Warriors team. And I'm not saying that being like, these two are going to lead them to the title, but they're just two players that they're going to be counted on. I think a little more than people think they're going to be counted on. That's not a bad thing. That's not necessarily a good thing because, those are two relatively minimum type contracts. But just if they play like they did in this first game, the Warriors are in a good position in their depth.
Yeah, I like Wanamaker. I liked him at Boston last year. I'm not sure I understood why. You know, if somebody said you can have Brad Wanamaker or you can have Jeff Teague, I mean, I probably gonna take Wanamaker, because I've seen enough of Jeff Teague and what he can and can't do. And I like Wanamaker's defense and his ability to really guard people and take it seriously. And I never saw that from Jeff Teague, at least not consistently. So I think he's going to be good. And Bazemore, again, we know what he can't do, but what he can do is be highly disruptive on defense.
Yep.
He makes things happen on defense. And watching those two guys play together, I thought, yeah, that if you're the Warriors, you're thinking, okay, we may have something with these two guys playing with each other as part of our second unit, because they can, they both have leadership qualities now. Bazemore, you look back at his earliest career, you know, he was the guy on the bench waving towels and stuff. Well, he's evolved, you know, he has matured. He is now a guy who has been around the league a little bit, gotten a fat contract, and now is just wanting to play good basketball. And I thought, yeah, what he and Wanamaker did the other night were two of the more encouraging signs you saw, because you saw them come in and bring energy. Wanamaker is really smart. He's really smart and cagey. And the fact that he could be, you know, he shot the ball okay. He's a 90-plus percent free throw shooter. He's a low turnover guy, which Steve's going to love that, you know. So I think the two of those guys are going to be, yeah, at the top of the reserve rotation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And also in terms of the reserve rotation, Monty, I mean, the Warriors couldn't have hoped for a better situation than the way Poole, Lee, and Mulder played in this game. I mean, those three together were incredible. You know, as for Damian Lee, you know, you saw him come in probably toward, you know, Poole came in ahead of him, et cetera. I think the coach staff just knows what they have with Damian Lee.
And I agree.
Comfortable with him. It's not like, we need to find out what we're going to get out of him right now. And right. He's going to be in and out of the rotation. There'll be games where he probably plays 25 minutes, and there'll be games where he plays two, you know, and it's not going to be based on how good he's playing. It's just that they know what they have with him. And he came in, brought energy, hit a couple nice threes, went to the line seven times, which is, again, something the Warriors need. They need that person that's just going to, you know, muck things up a little bit out there. And so Damian was great. I think just there's a reason why everyone was just excited about the Jordan Poole and Michael Mulder situations, because they don't know what they're going to get out of him and those two. And Mulder, for his case, trying to earn that 14th spot, you know, made three straight threes, look great. The Warriors need shooting. The bigger story, Monty, is Jordan Poole. And he had 10 points, went 4-4 from the field, hit a three, couple assists. My biggest takeaway from it wasn't that he was making the shots. It was how cool, calm, and collected he was out there. And let's not forget, last preseason, he was great, right? People were like, wow, this guy's a flamethrower. He's just throwing up shots. Wow, look at the confidence. And I was, you know, buying in. But he was almost playing with a reckless abandon last season. Mm-hmm. This season, he looked like he was calm out there. Drew Schiller put out a tweet, a highlight of him. He was attacking the hoop, and instead of just flailing up and throwing up a shot at the rim, he stops, came to a jump stop, and finished with a little jumper in the lane calmly. I was really impressed with Jordan in this game.
No, he was good. I think last year there were a lot of games in the regular season where he didn't look as if he belonged. You know, he looked like a guy who was trying to play in the NBA but didn't really know if he belonged in the NBA. And again, it's a preseason game, but just the way he carried himself on the court, he looked like, okay, you know what? I'm ready for this now. And even if the shots don't always go in, I think the way a person carries himself on the court is huge. And to see him do that, you know, the Warriors have been all offseason talking about how hard he's working. He's the hardest working guy on the team, and he's always in the gym. And, you know, I know the day I was out there when they were doing the voting, they were taking in ballots on that Saturday, and Nick Kerr, Steve's son, was out for a minute, and he said, I got to go inside. And Steve, what do you got to do? He goes, Jordan wants to go shoot, you know, and that was a common thing in this offseason, is that Jordan wanted to get into the gym and shoot. And I think last year, I think he thought he knew that wasn't really him. And I think this year he's determined to show people what he can do. I think there are a lot of people who are still going, let's see, show me. I need to see it. So I think the Warriors know that they need to get a good look at him to know what they're going to have going forward. And I think he's determined to try and show them that he's a player in the NBA.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. Again, caveat, first preseason game. He could do this for the next two preseason games, and it's still the preseason. But you need to see his consistency. And when you're that young and a coaching staff is trying to win now, they're not going to have patience for errors rookie mistakes, bad defense. I mean, we're talking about offense right now. I'll be honest with you. I didn't pay attention as much to how well he was playing defensively because I was so distracted about how, you know, he looked out there, his presence offensively. So, you know, that's something I should probably go back and look at because, again, that is really, if he's going to stay on the court, it's two reasons. He can play some defense and he's making his threes. It's pretty much that simple, right? And not turning over the ball and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Presence out there. So, again, encouraging signs. That's all we're talking about right now. Encouraging, not, not concrete. This guy's a star now. Just, encouraging.
It's way too soon to reach any conclusions.
Exactly.
It's all about how a guy looks in that game and maybe he can carry it forward or not. So, yeah.
And just a few more just to go through it. Eric Paschal, he started in Draymond's spot. He looked like Eric Paschal to me. It's going to be an adjustment for him being in a role in which he's not expected or not wanted to be just shooting a lot, right? He's not going to get up 15 shots a game anymore. But he picked his times. Obviously, his three ball did not go in, but he did have 7 rebounds and 3 assists. He had he had some great playmaking. He's developing as a player. You can see him getting, you know, into a role of I'm an established guy in the NBA. And I mean, there was a couple takes down low where you're like, oh yeah, that's Eric Paschal.
Yeah, I thought the most encouraging thing to me. I mean, he. One of his first three was a total brick.
It was.
Holy. Yeah. It didn't hit the rim. You know? Yeah. So, but the most encouraging thing, I think, because you know he's going to be able to shoot. He's going to be able to score. You don't know if he's going to shoot 35% from three, but you know he's going to get buckets. But his playmaking, I thought, was the thing that I go, okay, you know, he's more comfortable with the ball in his hands, making things happen for other people. And so last year, for most of the season at least, he was a guy who once he got the ball, it was a little black hole-ish at times, you know? And I think he thought he needed to be that guy, given what they had on the roster. This year, I think he realizes, I got some guys with me this year. I got some men out there, some dogs. And so I think he knows he doesn't have to do that as much and is able to rely on his teammates better. I think you saw some of that. I didn't know if he could really play make last year. I believe that he can play make now. And based on the end of last season and what you saw the other night.
Yeah, the end of last season, I think the last 5 games, he averaged over 6 assists. He was trying to do that. And you're right. I mean, that brick early, everyone was like, oh, I can't wait to see him shoot a 3. And then you're like, ugh. One thing Steve Kerr was very adamant on was that he needs to play better team defense. And he's a good on-ball defender. He needs to be able to be aware. I just, you know, Monty, how much it pains me to give Drew Schiller 2 shout-outs on this. But I'm going to do it again. He put a highlight out there.
Yes.
Paschal recovering on a play – or not recovering, sorry. He switched over. He saw a guy beat back door. He came over, put his body. Many refs would have called a foul there. I'm very happy they didn't. He forced him out baseline with his strength, just stood his position. And I think it was Jamal Murray was out. And they just called it out, and it was a turnover. But, again, it's just the awareness. It's the awareness to slide over, always be in one cohesive unit. And that's something that Steve Kerr, for him – that's more important than 3-point shooting for him.
Oh, absolutely. Right?
What's going to keep him out there more.
Yeah, I think, you know, he was forced to start because Draymond's not there, but he's going to be a regular off the bench. And I think what you want to see from him is, you want to see decent defense. You know he's going to give you something on offense. He's going to score some. He's going to rebound some. But if he plays decent defense, you know, you're looking at a guy who can play 15, 18 minutes a night.
Yep.
And I think that's what you want to get from him because you don't want to use Draymond, you know, 35, 40 minutes a night. You want to keep his minutes at a minimum if you possibly can. And if Paschal is good, you can do that.
Yeah. And there's going to be games he plays 30-something minutes a night. You know, we're assuming full health right now, and we're assuming there's going to be so much, and they're going to rest guys. Eric Paschal will have games where he's in the closing lineup. It's just he might play himself into that more often than not. But just, you know, as you're saying, he needs to be aware that there's going to be games and a lot of times where he's going into the season only getting 15 to 20 minutes and is going to get 5 shots instead of 15. It's just making an impact elsewhere.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, our total trust guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything we do. From service bay cameras to service bay views to our transparent pricing. Each and every day. Speaking of price, now get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for your coupon today. Most vehicles discount off a regular price. See store for details. Charge for additional parts service if needed.
Before we go here, I'd be remiss not to mention Nico Mannion at least. Nico got in. He didn't shoot well, but again, he was playing with a bunch of players that, you know, a lot of them are not going to be in the NBA this season. And he was, you know, he kind of launched a couple shots, whatever. Yeah. My biggest takeaway from him was that he did have three assists. He just seemed like he wanted to be that point guard, you know, the facilitator. But he has a really tight handle. And I never really noticed, I guess, before, because I was looking more for his athleticism. But his handle, he keeps the ball low. It's a real tight handle. I know I'm looking for small things, but that's what you do in a second-round pick. You just look for encouraging signs. I was impressed by that aspect. Obviously, defense and shooting is where he's going to stay in the league or not. But in terms of just the ball handling aspect, he was better than advertised, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought he did okay. I mean, he looked like a guy who was in his first NBA game. And he didn't go out of his way to try to impress, I thought. You know, he just tried to do the basic things. He did kind of jack up a couple of shots. But again, I think that's part of being in the NBA and thinking, okay, you know, I got to prove myself, which is a great attitude for him to take. I got to prove myself every single night. And, you know, he's on a two-way now, and I don't see that changing anytime soon, at least this season. But when you look at what he brings, he's energetic. He's athletic. And like you said, his handle's good. So, and he has an eye for running a team. He has a feel for how to do that. So I think in time, he can be a nice complimentary point guard.
Yeah. So finally, let's talk about this next game coming up, what to look for. Obviously, we talked about a lot of things that are encouraging signs. So yes, we want to see those keep on continuing. You want to see those encouraging signs remain. I think the names in particular you're going to want to see are Jordan Poole. How is he going to respond after a good game? How is he going to come in the next game? Maybe physically, you want to see how Kevon Looney looks out there after playing. You know, he played almost 20 minutes, I believe. And so you want to see how he responds. Those are two things in my mind to look for, but also just seeing Steph out there again, you know, the more he launches and feels good, that's encouraging.
I put Wiggins in there too, because he got off to such a rough start, you know, and I think when a guy gets three early fouls, for the most part, it almost takes them out of their game for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. He's on the bench for a long time, and you come back and it's hard to get into the rhythm and the flow of the game when you've been on the bench for 10, 15 minutes of the first half. I think we'll see whether he learned his lesson there, you know, and if he's able to give them, you know, 12 first half minutes, consistent minutes, you know, I think that's what you want to see. You just want to see him play smart. Yep. And you want to see him work on defense. And I think the other night he tried a little too hard to work on defense, and it got him into foul trouble. Be smart on defense. Use your athleticism. Use your wingspan. You'll be fine. But I think, yeah, he got caught up in trying to do a little too much and got his hand in the cookie jar too much and got in trouble. And therefore, you got to come sit down because you get three fouls in the first 5 or 6 minutes.
One more name we haven't mentioned, Marquese Chriss. Didn't do much in this last game. He's on the outside looking in right now because a lot of people are looking at Looney and Wiseman. Let's not forget, it was last preseason where Marquese Chriss just took over and everyone's like, wow, this guy's for real. Let's see what Marquese Chriss, he's going to have the opportunity again. It's very unlikely that James Wiseman is going to play in this next game. So, you know, Marquese Chriss hopefully can make his mark as well.
Yeah, I think what they want to see from Chriss, they saw a hunger last year. Last year he was on a non-guarantee. He was just a late camp invite almost, you know. And so he was a guy looking for a job in the league. And now he feels more secure. And I think the Warriors want to see if he still has that hunger. They know what his skill set looks like, but they want to see what his desire is like. And if he brings that, he'll be fine. I mean, I do believe that if he brings that, that Steve Kerr will use a three-man rotation at center. I think he'll use all three of those guys and based on matchups. And so you'll see some Wiseman, some Looney, and some Chriss. I'm not optimistic you'll see much of a Smiley, but not yet. But the other guys, I think you'll see a little bit of at various times, and we'll all be kind of rotating in that center spot. So he has to be a guy who makes a difference out there and just brings some energy.
Yeah.
And I thought the other night he was just okay there.
Yeah. Energy. That's all. And defense, that too. Okay. Monty, thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate it. Hopefully, if you're allowing us to check back in with you again after some more preseason games.
Absolutely.
If you're so generous, I would appreciate it. But
I'm at them on now. I'm always here for you.
I appreciate that, Monty. So everyone, please subscribe, rate, do all you can with Dubs Talk. Share it. Tell your friends everything. I appreciate everyone, as always, for joining. Monty, thank you so much, and we'll be chatting with you soon.
All right, Grant. Take care, man.
See you later.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.